say or think, no decision that we can make will be a surprise to God. Now, that is challenging for our minds to understand, you know. And sometimes I've seen these movies and, or you know, and if you look at it, I once went to visit Reinald there at his work, and I apparently had to help him with the sermon, but then I looked at what he was doing for a daytime job, designing electronic stuff, and then I just see all this, what do you call it, Reinald, all this wires or inside a computer, all the stroomlijnen, stroombanen, whatever that might be. But you know, sometimes I think we stand in front of something and then you can turn left or right, you can go forward. There's so many decisions that we can make. And then we know, no matter what we do, God is in control. God knows what is happening in our lives right now. And God is with us at that stage. You know, we need to search our hearts. And I remember as we grow, as we mature, you know, and we learn the fruits of the Spirit is coming more evident in our lives, we gain more self-control. But I remember at certain stages in my marriage, you know, me and Maritza, we had a few words, and then you leave each other not, you know, in a place of things are not perfect, you know. But then you actually have to walk somewhere, and then you need to search your heart and think like, sure, that thing that I said just now, or the comment I made, or whatever, where does it come from? Why is that thing in my heart? Because usually we want to fight and tell the other person, listen, you. But it's so easy to forget about what I said and what I did or didn't do or whatever it might be. So you can read with me. We'll be there at the back as well. Psalm 7, verse 9. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous. You test the minds and hearts, O righteous God. And then I also just want to continue and read from Jeremiah 17, verse 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his way, according to the fruits of his deeds. Now that is awesome. That's an awesome scripture, except if you are messing up, eh? Okay, then it can be a bit challenging. But if you are in God's will, if you are living a spirit-filled life, asking, seeking God, you know, then this scripture is not talking about, this is in the Old Testament, is actually not talking about the heart in the New Testament times, you know. Our hearts, if you are a believer, it's at a different place, you know. It's a different place. We are not perfect. We are not without sin in any sense, okay. But, you know, our hearts are made new. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us. But you see, this part here in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. That means to me, it's something very deep, you know, and it just makes us, give us that feeling once again that we know we have to bow our knees before God Almighty, this God that we worship just right now, okay? Because God is omnipresent. God knows everything about us. And, you know, as you learn to, especially in a marriage, you know, you get married, and then you think you know that person really well, and then in time, where's my wife? She must say amen now. I think she's at Kitty's church. Okay, she will listen to the sermon afterwards, and then we can obviously have a coffee about everything, the past that I said again. But, you know, we progress, and we learn to trust each other. We learn sometimes, you know, I've seen that old picture of the old man and his wife, people in the 80s or maybe 90s, just sitting there somewhere holding hands, and they can just look at each other and means 100 words. When you are young and you're in love in that sense, you need to talk all the time, many times, and you just want to engage that person and wants to get to know that person better, and where do you come from, and, you know, all those type of things. But the Lord also tests our hearts, and He searches our hearts. And scripture, there's a lot of places. I'll also read to you from one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 139, verse 1 to 2. It won't be there. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. And it's just this picture of God knowing everything about us. We can't hide anything. And I think sometimes in our fallenness in that sense, or our weakness, we think we can hide stuff from God, you know. I know we hide it from each other many times. There's maybe things that I can tell you about myself that will shock you. Or maybe you can tell the person next to you about a thought you had in the past week or so, and it might shock someone. Maybe someone who stood here this morning that did the offering, led the worship, prayed, whatever it might be, played in the worship team, you know, if we have to be 100% transparent, you know, I think we will all be really shocked at each other about what thoughts are in our heads. And I'm not saying everyone is bad and evil this morning. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, sometimes stuff happens, or we are in a negative place or a bad season, you know, and then we think terrible things. You know, and you're really honest, you will ask a brother or sister maybe, and you'll talk it through, go and have a coffee in a small group. You will share your heart and ask someone to pray with you. Okay, help me. Why do I think like that? It's so sad. I didn't really read much about it, but I just saw in the past week, I think Robin Williams, you know, I think he had depression and, you know, he hanged himself, I think. And then always, I shared earlier in this year, I think many of us would think, God, if I could just have 5 minutes with him, if we could just do something funny or pray with him or make a joke or tell him that life isn't that bad or whatever. I know I'm standing in a place this morning and I'm far from him and I don't know him. But you know, many of us sometimes have similar things in our hearts. Stuff that is burdening us, stuff that we want to fight with other people, fight with God about, fight with our parents, our family, our pastor maybe, I don't know. My favorite quote still stays, that one that says, if you want a better pastor, pray for the one that you have. And that goes, if you want a better husband, pray for the one that you have. If you want more obedient children, pray for those that you already have. Changing them won't help a lot. But bottom line, I, the Lord, searches the heart and test the mind. Now, obviously, when Scripture usually refers to our hearts, you know, it's not our physical heart in that sense. It's basically our emotions, our will, our decision-making, the things we feel, the things that's happening here on our inside. That is what it's referring to. Now, I want to continue to a Scripture. I can't remember if I've ever read it in church, but it's actually one that I really enjoy, and it's from Ecclesiastes. Free from verse 1 to 8 and then also verse 11. You can read with me. It will be there at the back as well. For everything there is a season, and this is something, you know, where we can sit down and become quite philosophical about, and I think it's quite deep and it makes for a nice talk about how do you see this morning, but we'll give a bit of time for that later. Verse 1, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sue, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, there's quite a lot in this, and I think there's so many nations right at this stage that think or pray, and I believe they would pray, God, can't it be a time for peace? You know, in just this past year, it seems to me that the world has gone upside down again in terms of wars and stuff happening and Ebola breaking out in West Africa, and there's so many things happening, and then you think like, God, can't this season or this time just change again? You know, and it's so easy for us, because I promise you, every one of us is in a different time, in a different time and season right now. I know there's people with young babies, there's people who are still waiting to get married, there's people who are spiritual fathers, and there's people who are spiritual infants. None of us are exactly at the same stage right now. Now, sometimes we're in tough seasons, you know. Sometimes we have the wind in our sails, and sometimes it feels as if we have a hurricane in our face. And you can't see, you just feel you're not going forward one inch. And we say, but God, what is wrong? Did I do something wrong? And then usually we want to look for a problem on our inside, or ask like, God, where are you right now, or something like that. But you know, God wants to teach us something in every season of our lives. And some seasons are harder than others. I remember when our twins, our boys, were, say, just born or a month or two or three old. I told Maritza many times, yo, those people that says the baby sleep right through from 6 weeks on. I don't know. That must be a rumor. And I just told her, listen, I because I really helped my wife quite a lot, you know, when she had to feed the twins and all those things. Well, you weet nou nog nie wat daai goed is, but you'll get there. It's good things, having children. We bless you guys with many children. But bottom line is, a few times I said to my wife, I wish this season can just pass and the kids can get a little bit bigger. And then you get to a potty training season or a new one, and then you once again, you want to say to yourself or your wife, or whoever, yeah, man, I just wish the season can pass and a better one can come. Or maybe it's going financially tough right now, and you think like, yo, if this season can just pass and a better one, you know, when my ship with money comes in. But you know what? It's so easy, I think, I'm not there yet, but to turn 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and then you just always wish the season by. You know, those times, and fortunately I had a revelation, I feel God showed it to me. You know, even those nights that you don't sleep when your children are young, don't wish it, don't wish or hope or pray for it to just pass. It's something that you need to work through. And God will teach you things in that life, in that season. You know, sometimes maybe it's a month or two or six before you get married, and everything in yourself just said, I remember those times that I was staying with two of my friends, and she was staying with a friend of hers. And every night I had to drive home, go and sleep in my own bed. It's the right thing to do, but it's tough. And then you want to wish that season by just till the time you get married. Okay? I put you need to focus now, right now, okay, on the sermon. But, you know, if we always just want to skip a season or get into the time machine and say, God, take this 6 months, take this year away, that my kids can just walk and go to the toilet by themselves, we're going to miss so much. There's so many things that God wants to teach us that we will just miss, that we can't live in the, let's say, the honeymoon phase of our lives forever. Okay? There's times to work hard, and there's times to till the soil and those type of hard things. And I think if we can, and I want to challenge you, go home and go and read Ecclesiastes 3. You know, there's a time for many things. And sometimes, you know, I need to tell my children, listen, it's now a time to keep quiet. Okay? It's a time to keep quiet. Or there's other times where we need to learn how to act, you know. When we are young, we don't always know. But there's always something for us to grow in. And you know, seasons don't always come at a time that you think, now this is a good season for this or that. I remember in 2008, you know, our boys were about 5 or 6 months old, and then things started to change for me and my wife. And we came to Windhoek. We prayed about it, and we felt it was the right thing to do. But with 2 6-month-old old babies to immigrate, we were still living in South Africa. You want to say, but God, are you sure? Shouldn't we wait till they are 2 years old, 5 years old? Isn't it a bad time for them? You know, we always want to argue with God in terms of stuff like that. Many times, or sometimes you might be young married or whatever it might be. You know, and then God wants to send you somewhere. He wants to teach you something. And then we want to say, God, it's not an appropriate time or season now. But let's see what Scripture tells us about times and seasons. We can also read here in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Now, there's something eternal in our lives as well, okay? We believe in Jesus Christ, we will live in all of eternity. So the things, I think many of us have come to that place where we know that just running after this world, the pleasures of this world, aren't really filling the gap we have here. It's only if we stand in relationship with our eternal God, you know, that we can go to bed, as Pastor Sias always says, that you know, that you know, that you know, your heart is in the right place. You stand in relationship with Jesus Christ. And here in Romans 8, verse 28, you know, we need to understand that if we say everything work together for the good, you know, God's main aim isn't just to bless us, that place on Mauritius with the pina colada on your hand. No. God wants us to grow in our character, come closer to Him, bear godly fruit, be in fellowship with God more intimately. You know, if I ask you, what is in your heart this morning? Is there something in your heart this morning? Is there just a blank space, a gap? Is there maybe, you know, when you get to a, sometimes you get to a place and it says closed renovations, or it says, if you like, if you email me, it says, I don't know what it does, it says. It says error or something, you know. What does it say in your heart this morning? Okay, what is God speaking to you? Does it say, out of the office, I'm away on leave, God, 2 weeks, in 2 weeks' time, I will talk to you again? Okay, not to condemn it all, but to test our heart. Because Scripture says, God looks continuously at our hearts. Now, there's many things in life that we don't understand. And this morning, early morning, I was just sitting, preparing, reading through a few things. And as I just mentioned, stuff that we don't always understand. You know, I remember, you can come and visit me. There's a lot of vegetables that I do eat. But there's also a few of them that I really don't like. Okay, and all, like all good mums, my mum also told me, eat your vegetables, it's good for you. You think like, mum, are you sure? Where do you get this information? Praise God for people like, what's that guy that says we can eat the meat? Tim Noakes. Yes, he sounds good, man. That's a good thing. But, and also I think, I remember when I was at school, you know, stuff that you had to do, some subjects you could choose, but I remember there was stuff like English poetry. Henning, did you like English poetry? That's a definite no. Okay? I couldn't understand. I was in a boys' school. Why do I want to teach us like English poetry? I mean, of guys that lived like 1,000 years ago, I'm sure it didn't add any value to my life. It was also this, all the English teachers were always ladies. And they wanted us to read this stuff, and then you had to interpret it. Man, I don't understand it. But you know, to be a bit more spiritual, just to help you, I'm just using examples. Okay, sometimes we will also stand here on the 16th or 17th of August on a morning coming to church, and we think like, God, why is this thing happening in my life right now? God, why is this people in my life right now? God, why is this, why did that thing happen a week ago, 6 months ago? And we have this why's, you see? And I want to encourage us this morning, you know, that we serve a good God, that we serve an eternal God. His word will still the same, be the same tomorrow. It will, in 10 years and 50 years' time, it will still be the same word. Jesus will still save, okay? Until this world as it is come to an end, God's word will stand forever. But the thing is now, if you are having that hurricane in your face right now, it's usually then when we ask deeper questions, more difficult questions. God, why is this or that happening? And we know each other as a church. Many of us, we know each quite well. And we might ask like, God, why is this happening? Or why isn't it happening? Or whatever it might be. But we change. And the way we see things, and I want to encourage you this morning. If we can have maybe, if there were 5 things on our hearts, this morning, 5 thoughts after weekend, what you thought about. As I said, sometimes we will be shocked. And especially in the tough times, the thought gets weird sometimes. Okay? But God searches our hearts. Okay? And He tests our hearts. And He knows exactly what we are going through. Jesus Christ can relate to everything we have been tempted in. So, I want to continue and I want to read to you just to, I think you believe that point already. But here in Daniel chapter 2, verse 19 to 21, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of our God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and set up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He changes times and seasons. Okay? So, in a sense, God is there with like a gearbox or something. And He changes things. God is actively involved in our lives. Can I have an amen there? God is not an absent father that sits there somewhere in eternity and this time that we live in just goes on by itself. God is in control. God is omnipresent. God is powerful. Go and read the Psalms. It's always Psalms are, I think, I remember last year or the year before, I asked, like, if you can only take, if you have to live for the rest of your life in isolation on the island, And you can take only two books from Scripture with you. And I asked a few people, and many people said the Psalms are one of the books that they will take with them. And if you are glad, if there's sorrow in your life, whatever it might be, I think somewhere in the Psalms, you'll find a Scripture to relate with. Then it goes on. So God changes times and He changes seasons. And we know as we grow up, we go through many times and seasons. And sometimes I think some of the seasons change because of stuff we do. We just mature in the natural. We grow up and stuff like that. But also, you know, when we get to that T-junction, you have a choice whether you need to go left or right. And if we consult God, we ask Him for counsel and for wisdom, He will show you which way to take. And I know it's not always that easy to discern. That's why God didn't place you in isolation. He gave you a family, gave you a body, gave you people to pray with, people to say, listen, please pray with me. And that we can test the things that is in our hearts. But sometimes we do take the wrong turn off. Guess what? God goes with us. God doesn't say, yeah, you've took the wrong turn off. Now you're on your own. Bad sheepy. You're not on your own. Praise God that God doesn't work like that. I've taken so many wrong turnoffs in my life, not always to be spiteful or to be rebellious or something. Sometimes we just didn't pray, or you didn't pray enough, or you just made the move for the wrong reasons. But praise God that He's with us, that He takes that turn with us. And then seasons do change. Sometimes we bring it over ourselves. I mean, if you are a student at the university or you're still at school, and if you don't study at all, you will fail. And then you will reap what you have sown, or what you haven't sown. In that sense, if you didn't do anything, you'll also reap something bad. And then seasons might change in a sense. And then it's not God who's a bad father. You just didn't study. Easy as that. Now, change is a given. We know it all. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. As I said, not everything always happens in a convenient season for us. But it's so beautiful right here this morning, because Liesl, my secretary, isn't here. I asked one or two people, are you doing the offering? Are you doing the offering? And I think, or are you doing the announcements? Okay. And I think more, I didn't ask that much people, but a few people who weren't on duty this morning said, if you don't find someone, I'll do it. How beautiful is that? If you are ready, even if it's out of season. If you say, I will do it, what is on the announcements? Or I didn't prepare for the offering, but I'll do it because I've got something in my heart. And it's so challenging to us, because sometimes we just feel down or miserable, or we feel life has dealt us a bad card in some way, okay? And we just say to ourselves, but I'm not going to be ready in this season. Ask someone next to me. And in a sense, God is also okay with that, because He will still be with you. If God had to leave us every time we sinned, we failed, or we made a mistake, you know, we will be a lot of lonely people sitting here without a God. But preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Okay, so God search our hearts. God will change seasons in our lives. And we need to be ready in every season. In every season of our life, no matter young or old or what's happening, we need to be connected with God. We need to be connected with the Holy Spirit, that we can go through that season and that we can pass it. You know, that we can get it like an A in terms of marks. And it's not always easy. There's times that things just work out for you. I remember I had three brothers, I had three brothers that were my friends. And when we were in primary school, who of you know Monopoly still? Okay, Monopoly. Okay, and the one guy, Stefan, I remember, I don't know how he did it, but always, no matter when we played, he just got the most favor by throwing a dice. I didn't understand it. But he, for some reason, he always just got all the properties. Everything just worked out. And I remember he just were this like, over met die lepel en die goue lepel in die mond gebore was in many ways. We always played games, and for some reason, he always won. He just seemed to have more favor. But I got a better wife than him, so it's fine. No, He's a good guy as well. I'm just teasing on that one. But Stefan, I hope you're listening this morning. But you see, you need to be ready no matter what card life deals to us. And as I said, this is something serious. Sometimes it will be hard, but we are there for each other as well. And here's a scripture you can remember. Psalm 119, that very long psalm, verse 29 from the New Living Translation. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. And I think that's something we can remember. Many times we'll lie to ourselves. Who of you have lied to yourself? Okay, we do it from time to time. And we think like, that sin wasn't that big. It wasn't that bad. Or whatever it might be. And we know sometimes we lie to ourselves to make us feel better about ourselves, whatever it might be. Sometimes you know you needed to go on missions, or you needed to share a word this morning, or you needed to give someone flowers. Maybe it was on your heart. Okay, and you said, like, God, I'm shy or I'm afraid. And that's okay as well. But it's good to do something if God lays it on your heart as well. So let's not lie to ourselves, because hopefully you will see where I'm going. God searches our hearts. He tests our hearts. And we can't lie to God. That won't help. We can lie to each other or to ourselves. And here scripture comes and he says, keep me from lying to myself. That you don't fool yourself, that you don't shoot yourself in the foot by lying to yourself, because it's not going to help you in any way. Just a little bit before that, it said in Psalm 119, verse 25, the psalmist says, I'm completely discouraged. I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. You know, and sometimes we lie to ourselves. We get to a place and you feel you're literally lying in the dust. Things are bad, okay? And then it's just like this outcry on a hot December Namibian day for water, in a sense. Revive me by a word, okay? So don't lie to yourself. But if we mess up and we get things wrong and we find ourselves at a bad place, God the Father is always there, always, always in eternity. He will be there. And you will, if you cry out to Him, if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. It's beautiful. It's a promise. It's something that we can stand on. Last scripture for the morning, 1 John 1, verse 6 to 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As Christians, we need to walk in the light. We need to have fellowship with each other. Okay, it doesn't help us if we stand or live like islands in the ocean. Life becomes very challenging. Life becomes very hard. So this morning, because I believe in fellowship and scripture, and I believe in unity, and I believe in that we know each other, we're going to practice what we preach. So we're going to divide up in small groups this morning, just as you sit. So you're not going to have a choice to walk to someone you know very well. And there's going to be four things. No one is going to be asked to be exposed, stand on a chair, share something you're not comfortable with. But I just want us to divide up in groups of, say, four. Okay? So Jackson, you and Paul and Saskia, the ladies there, Tani Linda, Putti, Adrian, you guys, and you can just divide yourself, the young men, the rugby team sitting there, all of you. Just link with the people close to you. And there's four things. Okay? So listen now. There's four things. I want us, and I'm going to be part of a group, okay, just to talk a little bit about, because we're family, and I believe it's biblical that we walk in the light and just talk a little bit with each other. Number one, just the season in your life you are right now. What is happening in your life, okay? Just share a little bit. Someone might get to know you who hasn't known you before. Number two, your relationship in the season where you are at. What is happening there, okay? Now, don't lie to yourself, okay? Then, number three, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. How ready are you? 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 spoke about be ready in season and out of season. This season, the time that you are in right now, are you ready? Are you caught off guard? What is happening there? And then lastly, I want us to pray together. The things we talk about, okay, I want us to pray about this morning. It's biblical. We're a church. Okay, we can worship for an hour. It's not a right or wrong thing. I'm not going to preach for 45 minutes this morning. We're going to have fellowship with each other as well. So end off by praying together. Now, I challenge us to at least take 10 minutes. Don't just, how are you? No, fine. Bye. Okay, let's go and have coffee. Let's not do that. Okay, it's a useless exercise. But let's us this morning, at least for 10 minutes, sit with each other, talk a little bit about the few scriptures I've used this morning, the season you're in. Remember, God changes them. Be honest with each other. Walk in the light. And then, depending how things are going, let's pray and ask God. Let's lay hands on each other if you're comfortable with that. And ask God for a breakthrough or a change or whatever it might be. So we're going to do that for 10 minutes, okay? And if the 10 minutes, let's say 35 minutes past 10, if that's finished, okay, you can soft quietly leave. There'll be coffee and tea at the back. If you want to pray with someone, I will still be here. But please don't make a joke out of this, okay? Don't be like me and make jokes about everything, please. I'm honest here this morning. So let's take 10 minutes. Let's break up into small groups. Talk a little bit to each other. If you're finished, you can softly go and have something to drink. And then if there's anyone and you've got any need, I will stay here for a little bit of prayer.